associating so much with these generational curses. When we have our own generational blessings,
your sins are forgiven. That means that you are a candidate for the miraculous. It does not matter where you are. Once you hear my voice, the power of God will meet you.
And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has the life. We have the life of the Son of God. We are not ordinary.
You're about to listen to the visionary of Manifold Grace Ministries.
John chapter 14 verse 6. As we continue our Walk of Faith series, John chapter 14 verse 6, first scripture. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. And then Galatians chapter 3, from verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In this second part of our Walk of Faith, we'll be considering the way of faith. Many times when we look at scriptures, those that are unschooled in the language of scripture, we usually mix up faith when it is used generic in the generic term or generic context with the faith when there is a definite article, and there is a world of difference between both faith and the faith. In the Old Testament there was faith, but in the New Testament there is faith, but there is the faith. What the Bible refers to as the faith does not manifest in the Old Testament, it only manifests in the New Testament. And if you look at Acts of the Apostles, over and over again, when referring to Christianity, the term is used, the way, the faith. And throughout the epistles, it is there over a couple of dozen times where the Bible keeps talking about the faith. So, many people say that if you are not born again, you cannot have faith. That is not actually true. Because the people that Hebrews 11 talks about, the bulk of them were not born again. They were people in the Old Testament that exercised faith. So every living being can exercise faith. But there is a pathway into the faith. It is different from just faith. The people that Jesus commended their faith were not even part of the covenant. The centurion, Jesus said, I have not seen such faith. No, not in Israel. The Syrophoenician woman, who had the daughter that was oppressed of the devil. Jesus said, wow, woman, great is your faith. So, in the New Testament, we have the faith. When people get born again, they have entered into the faith. We have to look at the Bible in this respect. We have to look at the Bible in context. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17 says that, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, many people say that, you see, the only way you can get faith is through the word of God, referring to the written word of God. But that is, in context, it is wrong. Because when Paul says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, he is not even referring to the written word of God. Because he says, how can they hear except there be a preacher? So he's referring to the spoken word by an anointed gift. The spoken word. That's the faith he's talking about there. Other people say, unless you hear the gospel, faith cannot come. It is true, but it's not fully true. We can only enter into the faith when we hear the gospel. But people can exercise faith for miracles without hearing the gospel. Because in the Old Testament, we have many cases where people hear from heaven, There was a prophecy. There was a revelation. They acted on the word of a prophet and they got a miracle. But to enter into the faith, you must hear the gospel. Yes. Can you say amen? So, this gospel that brings us into the faith, that hearing of the gospel is what we refer to, that decision is what we refer to as finding the narrow way. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, he said that wide is the way, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many in that way. He said, but narrow and straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. He says, few there be that find it. The broad way, people don't find it. People are already there. They just move on in that broad way. But in the narrow gate, the Bible says, people must find it. And that finding it means that we see the gospel. We receive the gospel. When we make that decision for Jesus, Romans chapter 10 says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we make that great confession, then we become part of the body of Christ. At that point, we have entered into the way. So the way of faith is a path. The Bible says that on this way, it is difficult to miss it. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8, he says that there is a highway of holiness. That highway of holiness, he says that even fools will not err on this way. What does it mean? It means that you don't need intellectual depth to be able to see this way and stay on this way. It is for your heart to be open to the gospel. Can you say amen? Now, why are we so particular about this as for people's hearts being open to the gospel? Because many times I see people in this age that receive miracles as if they are Old Testament saints. And one of the things you should know about the systems of God is that God overcomes one working system with a higher system. And when the higher system comes in, it does not mean that the former system is not working again. So, now that a higher system has come, it does not mean that if you want to get results through the law, you won't get results. You will get results. There are Jewish people that are into Judaism and they are getting results with the law. So we can read the Bible and read it like Old Testament people and work hard to get the results, and we will get the results. There are people that are always praying for the power of Elijah, for the spirit of Elijah. God send another Elijah. That's Old Testament kinds of results. And they get those results. But one of the side effects of those kind of results is that they are harassed. Elijah had the answer for fire from heaven. He had the answer for rain from heaven. He had the answer for multiplication of resources. But he did not have the answer when Jezebel with demonic spirits came against him. But the New Testament has the answer. That's why you see people that have many miracles. When they hear devil like this, they start shaking. They start, we are going 40 days prayer and fasting. We are going 57 days prayer and fasting. We are going, it is fear. But there are other people that the devil does not harass them that way. Why? Because their revelation and their faith is based on the way of faith in the New Testament. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now. The reason why there is a way of faith is because in the Old Testament, you have to fulfill obligations for faith to come. The Lord will tell you, do this, then I will do this. The system of the law that the Bible says that Christ has delivered us from is transactional. The system of the grace of God is transformational. In the Old Testament, God will tell you that if you will follow my statutes, if you do what I tell you to do, I will take all of these diseases from you, or I will not put, because it's causative in Hebrew, I will not put any of these diseases upon you because I'm the Lord that healeth you. Deuteronomy, if you will obey the Lord your God and hearken to his commandments to do them, then shall these blessings come upon you and overtake you. It's transactional. You have to do something for God to bless you. But in the New Testament, the way of faith is the way of transformation. That means that God does not say, until you do something. No, that's not the premise. God is saying that I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And that is why if you are following the Old Testament, you have to do this obligation. Then you can look up to heaven like Elijah did and say, Lord, I have done what you have said I should do. Now prove to these people that I have done these things at your word in the New Testament. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you for you always hear me. Because in the New Testament, faith is supplied. Faith is not looked for. It is already supplied. And the thing with this part we are talking about is that the way of faith is the path of God's treasures. The treasures of God are prepositioned on the way of faith. And that's why in Isaiah, you will see it over and over again. The Bible talking about a way, a path. Over and over, if you read Isaiah 40, is there, Isaiah 45, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I will cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. That is the treasures on the path of the way of faith. Now, if you are not in the faith, you don't have these treasures. You must look for any of these things outside. You must outsource it. You must look for a prophet. You must look for a man of God. You must do something to bring healing. You must do something to bring... You must always be working things up. But the way of faith, everything is pre-planned, is prepositioned. We read a couple of scriptures to this effect. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you being blessed? I like the Amplified. From verse 8. King James Version says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the Father has before ordained that we should walk in them. Amplified, I like Amplified. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good work, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which is set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. See that the Bible says that we are taking paths which God has already set ahead of us. We are living the good life he has prearranged for us. And this life is in where? The way. It is in the way of faith. So the revelation, the riches of healing are already on the way. The riches for your prosperity, they are there. For your fulfilling God's plans for your life, they are there. For your ministry, they are there. For joy, they are there. God has already done this. So, you don't have a scarcity mentality. You don't have, I am trying to get it mentality. You have, I am walking in it mentality. And that is why Galatians chapter 3, when he's talking about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you read it, 3:23. He said that before we were shut up from the faith. But Hebrews chapter 11 talks about people that walked in faith and were giants of faith. No, he's talking about the faith. You know, many times people use this scripture to talk about chapter 3, chapter 4, to talk about spiritual growth and maturity. That's not what the Bible is talking about. They say, you know, when you are young, God cannot entrust things to you until you grow up. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is contrasting between the law and the grace of God. He says there was a time that God had many schoolmasters, so that they will be put on the right path. He said, but now that faith is come, the faith has come now. We are in the faith. That faith, Acts of the Apostles calls it the way. And in this highway, we are regulated by faith and not by the law. See, there are many times I meet people. And you should listen to this because this is very important. I see many young men that, and it is a joy when you see God's word working. They have miracles, Not just miracles that they see, miracles that have happened through them. They are excited. That does not necessarily show that you are in the faith, but it shows that there is faith. They are excited. So I prayed for somebody. A growth fell out of our body. Wow, praise God. I raised the dead. Wow, glory to God. I did this. There are some of those young men I see, but I know that they are not making progress in destiny. Because people can have miracles and not be making destiny progress. To make destiny progress, your feet must be set on the narrow path. It is called a narrow path because you have few options. It is difficult for you to turn aside from that path once you enter it. Christianity is not something that you just enter and say, I'm no longer a Christian. Is it easy like that? No, it is difficult because you are set on the narrow path. I see those people. They have tried to understand the mystery of faith, but they don't understand the revelation of the faith. Paul said that to make the nations obedience to the faith, that's Christianity. That's the essence of Christianity, the life and power of God. And once you get into this faith, Proverbs says that your path is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Things start working around you. Things start working for you. Things start falling in place for you when you are on this path. I'm not saying that everything will be easy and rosy, but you are assured of deliverance. You are assured that at the end, it will end in praise. You are assured of the last laugh. You see, the Bible talks, and Psalm 23 is a very important passage of scripture because Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is about the vicarious death of Christ. Psalm 23 is the result of what Christ has done. Isaiah 53 is what Jesus has done. Isaiah 54, sing, O barren, thou that is not bare, is about the result of what Jesus has done. So Psalm 23 is a New Testament scripture, though it's in the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That path of righteousness, people don't read it as path of righteousness. But the Jewish shepherd understood the path of righteousness. And that's what I'm bringing to you now. Because there are people that say things like, my life was okay until I got born again. Then many battles came into my life. No, it's the path of righteousness. It's the path of righteousness. The disciples, when they talked about the way, they said that we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And they were talking about the way, the faith. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So the shepherds will look up because it was up there that had the luscious green grass that had not been touched. And they had to move their sheep to the luscious green grass up on the mountain. To go direct up will be too tedious for the sheep. And so they had a path that they would take around while increasing altitude gradually. They'd be going around the mountain, the sheep will be eating here and there. The sheep will not know, but then it will look and see that it's on the mountain top with the luscious grass, but it will not feel the impact upon its legs. That winding path around is what the shepherds call the path of righteousness. There are many of you that God is leading you in the path of righteousness. Lord, I want to be a billionaire. I want to be a billionaire now. God will not make you a billionaire now. Is leading you in the path of righteousness. Because if he does that, even your pastor will not see you again. There are people, if they become billionaires now, with their attitude and with their mindset, even their church is in trouble. Pastor, I heard that you are having a program. I want to give something. Where can you come around to my house? Pastor should come to your house. You are the one that was in church praying, carrying pastor's bag. Now, because of money. Can you come to my house and see me? Pastor said, okay, what time do you want me to come? I'll be back because I'll be having some meetings. Meeting is dinner. Around 10:30, 11 o'clock-ish in the night. Can you come? Pastor should come. No, God has to lead you through the path of righteousness. That by the time the billions come, money means rubbish to you. When God says that, look at that ministry, give a billion to that ministry, you won't think twice. You won't tell the ministry to go and bring their account books to see how they are running the ministry. No, because God has spoken, you will give it. Because God has taken you through the path of righteousness. God has told Abraham, the meaning of his name is Father of Nations. The major thing about Abraham was that he was going to be the progenitor of a race that will bring forth the Messiah. But before Isaac was born, that was the major thing about everything God spoke to him about. That is the anchor, the major thing, the sign of that word God spoke to Abraham was the birth of Isaac. Everything that happened to Abraham, if Isaac was not born, it would have been rubbish. Because it says that through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So see that to come out of him. But before that, God made an intercessor out of him. God made the millionaire out of him. God made a prophet out of him. God made a prince out of him before Isaac came. There are some people that marriage will not come yet. If it's this way of faith you want to take, because there are many things God has to make out of you, using the desire of marriage to make out of you. He has to change your attitude. That your tongue, like razor blade, God has to blunt the edges. It has to be sweet. Not because of just the marriage, because it will help you in your business that is part of God's calling for your life. Because with this kind of mouth, God knows that that business will not take off. So with that desire, God will start working on you, working on you, working on you, that by the time you get to the other side, you will be glad. But if you say, no, it's just faith, it's not any way of faith. The way of faith, things are prearranged for you. No, it's just faith. Any man, I've written my list, I see any man that fits this list, I will pray his head into my life. I will pray his head into my life. You can do that too. You can do that too. You will pray, which is manipulation. You will pray the person, but then be ready for the troubles that will come. Anything that is on faith is not forced. If it is this way of faith, it is not forced. It comes out naturally because God has set your life ahead of you. And he has put treasures of your destiny in front of you and is guiding you in the path that you should take. So once you get born again, you are in the way of faith. You don't need to force things. You don't need to insist on things. No, no. Look for the treasures God has put on the way and go with it. Many times when people tell you anything I want, you just to confess it, I will get it. Be careful. Be careful. The things you want, is that what God wants? There are things you are saying, no, I want this. And God knows that it is not one of the treasures that is on your path, that this thing will derail you. And how you will know is that when you are standing in faith with that for that thing, your faith will not connect because it is not in the path of the way of faith in your life. You will be praying. You will be saying, no. You will see that you are struggling on the inside. But when it is something that God has prearranged for you, you will see that it connects with something that is inside you. That you don't need to be looking for faith. Where can I get faith? Let me get more faith. No. It will connect. Your whole system will rise up and say, this is mine. Okay? Because you're on the way of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you got anything out of today's message? Yes, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for setting our feet on this path of faith. I pray for everybody that's listening to me that might not have made a decision for Jesus right now. I speak that you minister to their hearts in the name of Jesus. And as they make that confession of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and his lordship over their life, thank you for they are ushered into this world of faith and their lives are transformed. Lord, we speak your blessing over your people and we speak that you keep their feet on this established path that you have preordained for them. Let your word be a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You have been listening to the Visionary of Manifold Grace Ministries, a God-breathed ministry with a mandate to lift believers into new levels of victory via the teaching of the word of faith and the release of the supernatural. partner with us or to download more messages, visit www.manifoldgraceministries.org. You can follow us on social media at Manifold Grace Ministries. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Manifold Grace Ministries. God loves you.